one, two, three. Okay. All right. So, do you want to start it off or?
Sure. Hi, everybody. This is Jim O'Reilly from MP Tech Projects. This is Jim O'Reilly from NP Tech Projects,
and I'm without here without the laughing now.
Without the laughing, yes, and I'm here with Birgit Pauli Haak. We're two of the founders of the organization, and quite frankly, we're going to try something different today. We have had some very interesting discussions, meaning Birgit and myself, about data privacy and donor privacy relative to donors providing funds to a nonprofit organization. And it's a very interesting topic because the more you get into it, the deeper it actually becomes. And it's caused us to look at some of our processes, and hopefully we'll create some questions in your mind as to what you may or may not want to do yourself. And let's start by not a question, but a statement that one of our responsibilities as a nonprofit organization is to provide stewardship to our donors relative to their privacy and information about them. I don't think that's a question anymore in this day and age. I think it's a statement. And I hope you all agree with us. Because that leads to some interesting things. For example, as an industry have evolved into a technology age, more and more of what we do, including our communications, is electronic and online. One of the things about that, and let's start at the very beginning with a contact with a donor or a prospective donor, is that we contact them by way of email. And when you think about that and the donor privacy, how are we contacting them by email? For example, if we use MailChimp or if we use Constant Contact, they will send out an email to someone and say, you have the right to not be solicited by this source, and just delete this email if you would prefer not to be contacted. And that sounds fair, except when you think about it, we as the organization have already given that person's name and email address to the email provider. And the reason we have to do that is because the number of emails that we send out, we would violate all kinds of spam laws unless we had our own email server, which is very expensive. So when we're talking about smaller nonprofit organizations, that's not a reality. So we've been talking about how we handle that. And Birgit, why don't you chime in here about what we've literally just started to look at for ourselves?
Well, we were looking at and hello, everybody. Yeah. Welcome to our podcast number 13. I think we started the conversation actually before we published our blog post.
Yes.
Donor privacy. And it's actually the last blog post on our website from January 28th, donor privacy and online donation, and where we kind of laid out the different kind of data that we had on kind of looking at if that's really a topic for us. And we found, and I agree with Jim, we really went deeper and deeper and deeper. And after Jim told me about MailChimp's privacy agreement or privacy policy, we looked at how we ask you to subscribe to our e-newsletter on our website. And there is, what we found now was that there is no real statement where you can look up anybody's privacy policy. So the first order of business for us would be to have at least a notification that the data is stored with MailChimp. So we are quite transparent on the tools that we use. And the other one would be that we review the privacy policy models for us as a nonprofit organization, as well as the privacy policy of the tools that we use. And MailChimp is just one of them. There are other software as a service tools that are used to that have information about our donors. So one is we have our donation system or our donor management system on top of our website. So we own the data, we have access to the data, but it's hosted on our own hosting kind of platform. But there are donor management systems out there that are software as a service providers. And that is then the first thing where you say, okay, can I control who has access to the data? And then our,
And that starts to get very interesting when we start talking about donor management systems that are software as a service. And it becomes interesting to us from a couple of different angles. One is that our experience is that the more information you provide about individuals, you're automatically asked for more information, whether it's historical information on donations from prior years. You go from an email address to a street address so that they can be provided with a hard copy of a document that they can use for backup with their taxes for tax return purposes. There's a whole variety of things there, and including information about, are they also a volunteer? Are they a board member? What is this person's relationship to your organization? When you start thinking about that, you say, that's an awful lot of information. It's parsed. Nobody's ever asked for all of it at the same time because they know darn well that nobody's going to fill out all that information. And you're all smiling at this point because you know I'm right. But are we really taking care of our donors by providing a continual stream of information about an individual? And if you want to get really scared about this, look at the industry. In the past several years, and I'm talking about just a few years, there have been many acquisitions within the area where one software as a system, donor management system, buys another, and a third, and a fourth. And we all know they're keeping that information separate. It's all just going to the cloud. It's perfectly secure, right? Well, you're all smiling again, because we know that there is now risk. And part of that risk is the fact that the data is starting to be accrued. And as in the advertising business, the advertising company will buy data lists, but they'll buy what they call scrubbed data. So they're only getting information, high level information, where they can try to consolidate. People in this particular zip code are buying these kinds of products from this type of area. Do we not think that the same thing is happening to donor data?
Up until recently, when I was at a conference and looked at and noticed that one of the donor systems that I know was at the same table as a different donor systems, and I realized those two had merged as a company, but they are still selling their respective brands separately. Also looked at one of the, and it's also in the blog post, where Stephen McLaughlin from Blackbaud has written a book. It's called Data-Driven Nonprofits. And he describes the different ways on how donor data is collected and kind of can be stored. And then he, and the next step for any nonprofit, so small nonprofits, middle-sized nonprofit, large nonprofits, they all use software as a service models. But then the next level of data management is not looking at the data in the past and looking, okay, what was this year's donor retention and compared to the previous years. What was my average donation per donor? How many individual donations did we get? And these kind of data, which are all kind of looking back in the past, what happened, and then even what is happening now. But the next step for that is the predictive modeling or predictive analysis, which takes the organization's data and combines it with external data to help predict what might happen in the future. And the external data can consist of income, real estate holdings, private company ownerships, stock transitions, being a board of a nonprofit, and Jim mentioned volunteers, and then donations made by other nonprofit organizations, which you as an individual nonprofit probably don't have that much access to, but guess what? Who has access to the same person donating to multiple organizations? Those are the software as a service companies. They have access to that. And then the predictive model can build a case to look at the donor data even in an aggregate, but it needs to still be drilled down to individual donors as the basis of it, to come up with an idea, a predictive analysis. How much can you ask that particular donor? Even if it's just in a range. And they found, they did the predictive analysis, or the analysis on the past data said that the upgrade capacity was about $52 more asked for an annual donor, and almost $1,200 for a major donor. So when we turn this around and look at it from the donor's perspective, you have a relationship with a single donor, and then you give that donor's information to a system that where you don't really know what happened with it, but also the donor trusts you with that information, hoping or actually expecting that you keep the information private and that you don't share it with anybody else unless you tell him to, or unless with his permission or her permission. So that's pretty much the, all of a sudden we are in a total different water, because not only is the donor's information for your own organization there, but it's also out there for the other organizations.
And that takes us to what I think is perhaps the crux of the matter, because you can look at what we've presented you so far and you can say, well, that's interesting. But if you ask yourself some hard questions, and I would start with your board. I would ask somebody on your board, do you know that when you donate to us, that your information goes here, here, and here? And this is the type of information that goes. And I think you're going to see a very surprised expression on their face. And how do you feel about that? And I'm guessing most people are not going to be happy to find this out. Therefore, there's a tremendous opportunity for you. And the opportunity is to take the lead in donor stewardship in your market segment. Be open, transparent, and honest. Here's the information we get from you. Here's what we do with it. Here's where we take it. You can opt out of it at any time you want. And I think, truly, that will put you a step ahead. It won't happen overnight, because I really think the first reaction is going to be somewhat anger that you've been sharing this data and you didn't tell me. And I think the reality is, truthfully, most of you are finding out about this for the first time by listening to this podcast. Perhaps. Barry and I are looking at each other on that statement, or I'll say perhaps. But the fact is, you can take the high ground here fairly easily. And one way you can do it, and let's talk about a little history here. AFP, which is the Association of Fundraising Professionals, in 1993 put out a Donor Bill of Rights. And the Donor Bill of Rights is pretty good, it's pretty succinct. It's 10 things that they say a donor has a right to expect from you about how you use their data, what you tell them about your organization, what information is available to them, what assurances do they have that what they say they're donating money for goes to where they're donating it. And then more recently, the same organization has come out with principles of the e-donor Bill of Rights to recognize what's going on today with online giving. And essentially what they're saying is that in addition to what we said back in 1993, here are another 10, 9, excuse me, items that now come into play. And please understand that this is a beginning working document, that there's more things coming from this. And by the way, we'll have a link to this information for you in our show notes, so you don't have to be writing things down. But let me give you an idea of some of the things. One of the things that jumped out at me, to have easy and clear access to alternative contact information other than through the website or email. To be assured that all third-party logos, trademarks, trust marks, and other identifying, sponsoring, or endorsing symbols are accurate, justified, up-to-date, and clearly explained. To be assured that all online transactions and contributions occur through a safe, private, and secure system that protects the donor's personal information. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, and I think that the topic is really, really coming to the forefront over the full industry, because online donations are also increasing tremendously. And more and more nonprofits are forced to have a software as a service kind of place to store the information, at least online, for their online donations. If you are not in a big organization and your donor management system is not a software as a service, you still have them on their local computer or in the in-house network, but it's not going to go outside. But as soon as you want to have an integration with an online donation system, this becomes a complete different ballgame. And from that on, it's more and more critical to actually look at that. Yeah. So this that was number five. The full five bullet point was, and the most time we look at this number five, what Jim just read about that online transactions and contributions occur through a safe, private, and secure system. Everybody is only looking at the credit card information. But what happened was that, so the banks and the credit cards kind of have that information, and not so much the donor software that administered everything else apart from the payment gateway kind of situation.
So this situation, and as I hope you're beginning to appreciate, starts to become very complex, because it comes down to, what do I do? How do I interface with my online mail system to make sure that they know that we're telling people beforehand that we're sharing information with them, and they could expect questions about their privacy policies and perhaps a lower response rate than what they're used to. And going in with software as a service, what assurances do you have that will protect your donors? This could be a very litigious thing, depending on the kind of information that gets out. We've all heard of very wealthy billionaires who get sued for not following through with their transactions that they've promised. I'm trying to say this very nicely, and I'm not doing a good job of it.
But following through on the pledges.
You all get my point. So we intend to go deeper on this and share information with you as we get it. We'd also appreciate your comments back to tell us what this brings to mind for you. Perhaps one or more of you out there has a solution that would work, in particular for smaller and medium-sized nonprofits, where they don't have to build an IT department in order to able to truly be a steward for their donors.
Yeah, we would really appreciate it if you would also share your privacy procedures or assurances with us if you have them in your organization already. There is one point in the Donor Bill of Rights of 93, actually, to have the opportunity for a donor to have their names deleted from mailing lists that an organization may intend to share. That is a same, and that comes back in the e-donor bill of rights, is to be clearly informed about opportunities to opt out of data lists that are sold, shared, rented, or transferred to other organizations. What that brings is that you actually would need to provide a place for a donor, and that might be on the website, or it might be on your forms or in your paper records communication, to provide a list of things where the data is stored, and to have a process that is actually removed, and you still be able to be in contact with that person. And if it's only by letter, then that would be it. But we all share it, use computers and databases, but we don't think about the other person, that record you have. And there's a book out there. I don't know if we're going too deep on the end now, but there's Jeff Jarvis has published a book that's probably, I need to find the right date. Hang on. It's called Public Parts. And saying, okay, the data sharing helped me in an anonymous way, because sometimes data is not available, but if you kind of be in contact with other people, then the accumulation of data, be it about health, be it about self-help group, data is always shared. But for those organizations who have the data, they should be or need to be transparent about and put the personal information holder pretty much in the driving seat, what happens with the data. And that's not only in the nonprofit world, but that's in the computer world, like Facebook, like Google. There is the saying, if you are not paying for the service, you are not the customer, you are the product. And that's how Facebook actually makes the money, because you share as an individual a lot of information, a lot of interest, and so they can target other people's advertising towards you and make money through the advertising. But it seems that in a nonprofit world, the donor is actually the product. And that can be, because that's not in the best interest of the nonprofit organizations as a whole, the charity industry, and it's certainly not in the interest of that supporter of yours with which whom you have a very quasi-intimate relationship, because they care about you so much, or what your work so much, that they actually give you money. And being a steward of the money is one thing, but you also need to be careful or conscious about what happens with the data.
So in closing, what I would like you to do, and remember, there's always got to be an ask in any of these things. What I would like to ask you to do is to share this information with anyone in your organization that is responsible for fundraising, and have a serious discussion about stewardship for the donors. And see if you can't figure out a way that you can share with us and with our audience about what can we do that can address the situation, protect the donors' information, protect their privacy, and feel like you're being a good steward of their information as well as a steward for the people that receive your services. So for me, that's all for today.
That's a pretty good closing. Thank you so much, Jim. And if you find this helpful, or if you have subscribed to our podcast on iTunes, please leave us a review. Of course, only a good one. it would be really benefit to us. And then for next time, we're going back to editorial calendars and how to manage those with the tools available. And we will have, that's our next podcast. That's number 14th, and it will come out sometime next week. That's it from me. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.